expect you to, can I expect to see you singing in the air?
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Oh, that would be like, that would be so good if I was able to, you know, do justice to that, those songs, Linkin Park, like vocally.
Yeah.
They, like, it requires like another level of skill. So
that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Chester Bennington, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
And but yeah, that's why there are other singers that I, you know, like to, you know, do, you know, covers of or something like that that suits my range and my kind of singing.
Are there any artists that their music you really enjoy and you've noticed that your vocal range is similar to theirs and you like to sing their songs?
I think the most similar, I mean, that's a good question. No.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I can't pinpoint any artists that... you know, like,
are there any artists that have music that you know all the lyrics to and you will sing along to all their songs, whether or not you're in the vocal range for it?
With
Britney Spears songs.
I can't like pinpoint to like one specific artist that I would like, you know all the stuff by heart. But I would like still like I would just, like, if a song that I really like by certain artists, like, you know, there are, like, few Linkin Park that I, songs that I know by heart, and there'll be, like, few Bruno Mars songs that nice. I'll be knowing by heart. There'll be few Chris Stapleton songs, you know, that I'll know by heart, and Bryan Adams and stuff like that. But I think Bryan Adams, stands apart, like, you know, the like most amount of songs of an artist that I know by heart would be Bryan Adams.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song by him?
Please Forgive Me.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
What a ballad.
Yeah, I love a good ballad.
Rock ballads.
Yeah. You know. I think one of the most important things to me with music is lyrics. I love a good instrumental. I think production can make or break a song at like 100%. But when I think about my favorite songs, they're almost always ballad types, or when they're hip hop songs, they're the kind that tell stories, right? Tell stories the whole time. I am a sucker for lyrics and good, clean vocals.
Adele.
Yeah, Adele as well. Absolutely. What do you think are your most like make or break, or your most favorite aspects of a song? What would make a song excellent for you?
For me, melody is a really important part. I see melody as a journey. So you leave home, you go on a journey. Let's say, you know, you take a bus, go to a different city and stuff, and but there's this, the aspect of journey in a melody is really important to me. And it might be like hard to describe for like, you know, non-musicians, but like it's not very repetitive. And it has like I think like the best way to, you know, like just put across would be that it is like very diverse, and so melody is the most important part to me. Like, and now we have like certain genres, like, you know, that are not very melody centric, and not very melodic. For example, like, you know, hip hop, and not, especially like a lot of like the modern age hip hop, I wouldn't call it very melodic, but that doesn't mean that I don't like, you know.
No, totally.
Yeah. So, but if I'm listening to, you know, pop or like, you know, country or rock and stuff like that, then the melodic aspect is like really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I don't know if you've like heard of the song like "Welcome to the Internet" by Bo Burnham.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's very melodic.
That's
but,
true.
But the lyrics, some people would like it, some people won't.
Yeah.
And so, like, lyrics is something that, you know, would come at, like, you know, number two or number three. But if, like, it's very strongly written and deeply written, but if it's, like, lacking the melody aspect of it, like, I wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Fair enough.
Hmm.
I've found that some electronic music annoys me because the build-up through the bridge sounds the exact same for, like, half of the, like, melodic dubstep or house music or all of those, like, not the ones where you can hear, like, the... It's a string of hi-hats that are getting closer together and higher pitched, and then suddenly the bass drops, or it's like a horn siren that's getting higher pitched and higher frequency, and then it drops, or what, and it sounds the exact same so often. And it's like, you know how those people get really annoyed when they hear the Wilhelm scream in movies?
Yeah.
Do you know the... Yeah. That's me every time I hear that classic electronic music build up to the, like, through the bridge to the bass drop and to the chorus. It annoys me to no end.
Are some of your favorite electronic music artists?
I love Daft Punk. I love Daft Punk.
Hey, let's go.
I'm a huge Daft Punk
me
fan.
Me too.
Yeah, I have listened to all of their albums, and I don't think they've made a single bad one. I love them. There are definitely some songs that are a bit more of a miss, mm-hmm. just in general, but Daft Punk is also one of those musicians that were really good at recording their live shows, and they did release a few albums as live versions, and I genuinely love listening to them. I think I might do an episode on electronic music, and I might just put in some live versions of Daft Punk songs, because they did such an excellent job with that. And if we're talking about melody, like, yeah, Daft Punk is very repetitive, and I know a lot of people hate Daft Punk songs because it just sounds the same, like, the same loop over and over again, but I just think they're iconic. I love them.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a huge Daft Punk fan, and I don't know if you, like, ever got a chance to, like, see them live or not, but I wish that I, you know, got that chance.
I wish too.
Growing up, I used to really enjoy, like, you know, Martin Garrix and David Guetta.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I am titanium. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man, that era of production was amazing. We were just talking about in Record Club as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Record Club is every Thursday evening from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the station. We hang out and listen to music. Priyansh and I were there. We were talking about the theme this week was guilty pleasures. So we were listening to a lot of, like, more poppy, more popular music. We were talking about like listening to Christina Aguilera or, like, old school, like, David Guetta songs or whatever. And then I had mentioned, like, genuinely one of my favorite examples of 2000 production, genuinely amazing albums, are the Timbaland albums. Timbaland albums. Dude, do you remember what they're called?
No.
It's like, it starts with an S. It's like his two most, Shock Value 1 and Shock Value 2, released in 2007 and 2009. And it has banger after banger after banger of songs on it. I think Timbaland's production is so quintessentially 2000s. And as a girl with a highly played playlist in her Spotify called 2000s Girly Bangers, I will say that I love I love a good Timbaland produced song. So yeah, 2000s music, that really hits a special spot for me. And then that combined also with ABBA and others are my guilty pleasures. Do you have any guilty pleasure music?
Bollywood music.
Nice.
So, because I'm not a huge fan of it, so that's why, like, I would call that guilty pleasure.
Like, there's a few of them that go, like, they go hard and they're amazing and you love them. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's totally fair. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got some more music coming up as well. I've got three songs by Lizard the Bird. I saw that band name and I was very excited. My name is Liz and people like to call me Lizard sometimes. And I thought, Lizard the Bird? No way. Let's go.
Yo.
So I've got Lizard the Bird. It's CanCon, FemCon. We love Canadian women. And it's like a psychedelic rock type music. So I'm excited to play it. It's off their album, Something in the Water EP. And the first song coming up is Something in the Water. But I want to give a big thanks to Priyansh first and foremost. Thank you for coming on my show, man.
Thanks for having me, Liz. It was lovely chatting about music.
Yeah. Love talking about music with you, man. Yeah. All right. Please enjoy the song.
is Bird Note. Some of Hollywood's most iconic beasts owe much of their signature sound to the squawks, tweets, and even hisses of birds. Take Jurassic Park. To create these mournful calls from the Brachiosaurus, sound designer Gary Rydstrom slowed down the honks of geese. In The Prisoner of Azkaban, the hippogriff's scream is actually a limpkin whose high-pitched call earned it the nickname the Crying Bird. Or in the sci-fi film Arrival. To create the language of the aliens, New Zealand-based sound designers David Whitehead and Michelle Child recorded local birds and lowered their pitch, then added some other animals and instruments like bagpipes and didgeridoos. Ironically, Alfred Hitchcock didn't use any birds for the soundscape of his classic horror film, The Birds. Instead, the sound of those murderous seagulls was made using an early synthesizer called the Trautonium. Hitchcock claimed he couldn't find any real birds that sounded spooky enough. That's Hollywood for you. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
I love a good bird note. I love a good bird note. I love that PSA. That's some of my favorite PSAs here at the station. This is 90.1 FM, CJSF, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain. My name is Liz. Welcome back. The three songs that you heard before those beautiful birds that Hollywood has been using is by Lizard the Bird, the band Lizard the Bird, from their Something in the Water EP. The songs in reverse order that you had just heard were Coming Undone. Before that, you heard Laisse Tomber les Fils, and Something in the Water. Psychedelic rock, cancon, femcon. Let me hear you say it with me. We love Canadian women. I've been really enjoying listening to rock recently. And I think, like I was saying with Priyansh earlier, the lyrics of a song are super important to me, and rock music ballads hit the spot so often. I immediately think of Aerosmith's Dream On. I'm sure everyone that has listened to any movie made in the 70s that had a remotely rock soundtrack has heard it, or the Eminem song Sing for the Moment also sampled it / used it as the backtrack. Dream On is amazing. Makes me feel so many emotions. And speaking of Led Zeppelin, which is one of my favorite bands as well, I loved going to California. I also consider that a ballad. I'd consider that a haunting ballad. Leaving your love and your home to go off to California with dreams and hopes. I think, what does a ballad mean to you guys? To me, I think a ballad is something like, I mean, all music and lyrics can be compared to poetry, ultimately, I think. But I think a ballad is something that's a sentimental poem, sentimental or sensitive. I'm a bit sentimental and sensitive. I'm a bit of a sentimental person myself. I definitely get emotionally attached to songs. Listening to music makes me think of memories that I've associated with it very vividly. I can clearly remember the music that my partner and I listened to on our second and third dates. When I listen to it and it comes up on my own playlists, I get sentimental and I get in my feelings and I think about my partner and I I text him and I tell him, oh, I'm thinking of you because I'm listening to this song that reminds me of us. Like I said earlier in the show, how my brother had taught me when I was a wee young thing how to burn CDs, and I had built my playlist and my CDs by just scrolling through his iTunes library and picking songs that had funny titles or cool titles. And every time I listen to Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady, or Led Zeppelin's Misty Mountain Hop, or Hot in Here by Nelly, that I thought was funny because here it was spelled incorrectly with two R's. I think of when I was scrolling through my brother's iTunes and then listening to his Walkman with his pass me down to me headphones in my bunk bed when I was like 8 or younger. Shout out to my brother. I'm very sentimental about a lot of things that my brother has taught me as well. I still have his skateboard that I learned to skateboard on. And I still have a lot of these trinkets that so he's 10 years older than me. And when he would travel, when he was in his 20s, when he did his student exchange and went on vacations and stuff, he would always bring back two trinkets, one for him and one for me. So there's this mosaic bull magnet that he got from Spain for him and I. And I forget where he went, but he got us these two little porcelain elephants, one for him and one for me. And when I went to the UK to see him recently, we went to a rope making historic museum place. And we participated in this activity where they both gave us pieces of ropes. And now whenever I look at those sentimental objects, I know that my brother's got one, I've got one, and I'm very sentimental about it, and I'm sensitive about it. And I'm sensitive about my brother because I love my brother. And I'm sensitive about music because I love music. I hope you guys loved music too. I hope you guys enjoy the music that that I played. I hope that you've enjoyed some of the rock that I played. We went a bit harder today than we have in the past. If you guys like rock, you should next week tune in a bit earlier than my show. From 7 to 9 p.m. there's a show called Girly So Groovy, Women Who Rock, for fans who love them. So if you like rock and you love female made music, please do listen to Girly So Groovy from 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturdays. Again, my name is Liz. Thank you so much for listening. Special thank you to my super special listeners, Aaron, Zoe, Amara, Daniil Athanasian Radu.